Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Turn to 2 Corinthians. Very apropos message tonight based upon what we've seen. If you'll notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Tonight, I want to draw your attention to the hidden gospel. The truth of God's word, the message that we're all sinners, the message that we all deserve hell, the message that Jesus loved us enough to come and die for us, and now we have an opportunity to say, if we would like to trust Him as Savior and forgive us of our sins, we can go to Him and He'll forgive us. We have the wide open door, and that message is a ministry. Notice in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So everybody in this room's got the ministry of sharing the gospel with other people. Everybody here does. It's not just Pastor Tice's ministry or my ministry. It's all of our ministry. But, you know, the Bible says that the gospel is hidden. Now I want you to see the reasons why it's hidden. Now you notice, number one, we have a reason to serve the Lord, and that is we all have this ministry. Everybody in this room, we have a reason to come to visitation in the morning. We have a reason to take a pack of tracts when you walk out the door and put them in your pocket. We have a reason to come to church. We have a reason to invite visitors, invite people to come. We have a reason to get our neighbors and our friends to just come. That's our ministry. You can have a ministry to bring people to the gospel. If we don't, the gospel is hidden. Notice, if you would, we've hidden the gospel, and then notice the way it happens. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, notice it said, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, this little thought here of hidden, the word hidden is two parts. It's the word to steal and the word to conceal. So Satan and us have contrived together by accident on our part most of the time, by purpose on his part, to hide the gospel message, so that people don't see it and won't listen to it. And I want you to see tonight what you and I could do to make the gospel alive and to make the gospel light. Now notice he says in verse number 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Part of the reason why the gospel is hidden is many Christians have not renounced the hidden things of this world. You know, we have the wrong thoughts. We have the wrong words that we use many times. We have the wrong attitudes. And so when we go to work, our spirit does not represent Jesus Christ. We have a step back and renounce that spirit in our own heart and said, Lord, I don't want that attitude anymore. Lord, I don't want those words anymore. And so the gospel is hidden to the people we work with. They don't see the difference. I want you to notice, if you would. He says we haven't renounced it because if I look back in Scripture, you'll see where the Apostle Peter, he renounced it in front of a great crowd of people when they came to him and Jesus was taken. He began to curse and swear. And he renounced it. We can do the same thing. David renounced it when he saw Bathsheba. You see, we can renounce the gospel by the things that we do. We conceal. We steal things. You know, there's a poll out that says that 93% of all graduating seniors from college have cheated. That ought not to be a Christian. But you see, if we're along with the crowd and we're along with everybody else, you know what happens? The gospel's hidden. They don't see a difference. The cheat sheets pass around and Christians take it and just kind of take a look at it and then pass it on around. All of a sudden, the gospel is hidden. Somebody watches us that we claim to be a Christian, and it just blinds their eyes. You'll notice here, he says, they, the Corinthians, were to renounce the hidden things of the gospel. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty so the gospel would shine. You'll notice not only that, but they've realized that the truth is powerful. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So Satan comes in and he blinds their eyes. It doesn't mean their eyes don't work. It means their eyes have, the word is smoke. So a smoke has come up where they cannot see the truth of the gospel. They cannot see because of things that Christians have done or not done. And so in verse number 2, he says, But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Everybody in this room can commend yourself to somebody else by living the truth. Notice, if you would, he said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves. You represent yourself when you go to someone and the truth of the gospel comes out by your integrity, by your love for Christ, by the sweetness of your joy. All of a sudden you commend yourself to people in their conscience. And they say, they've got something I don't have. There's something different about that person. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. And their eyes begin to light up and they begin to see a glimmer of the gospel. And you'll notice here, he says, but by manifestation of the truth. Now look down in verse number 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So Christ is the image and we're supposed to be in his image. Look in chapter 3 in verse number 18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of God are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Tonight, I would ask you, are we in the image of Christ? In your home, as a father, are you the image of Christ to your children? Are you the image of Christ to your children as a mom? You see, that's one of the ways our children grow up and they see Christ in us and say, I want their God. I worked as a youth pastor almost 15 years. And I want to tell you this. I took a poll one time and looked at all my teenagers and had them bow their heads. And I said, how many of you would like to have a marriage and a home like your parents have? And I figured it would probably be 50, 60%. It was a wonderful church that I was a part of, an independent fundamental Baptist church. And they raised their hands. And I said, now, look, no, maybe you misunderstood me. You think that you would like to have a home like your parents, a marriage like your parents. And I was horrified. You know what the rate was? I did it twice, two different youth groups. You know what it came back as? 10%. No wonder when our young people get a little bit older, they sort of drift off and they fade off. The image is broken. The image of what we're supposed to see and shine to our children and to our families, they don't want that. They want something of the world. And so they yield to the things of the world. And you'll notice, if you would, that we are supposed to be changed into His image. How does that happen? You begin to read your Bible. You begin to have your devotion. You begin to spend time with the Lord in the morning. And as you begin to take God's Word and pore over it, and you study to show yourself approved, the Holy Spirit begins to come into your heart and take over as you yield and points out things. You ought not to have that thought. You ought not to say those words. You ought not to go to that place. You ought not to have that friend. And so all of a sudden, we begin to drop things off in our life, and then we begin to add things to our life. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter that we're to add things to our life like love and joy and peace, and we're to add patience, and we're to add self-discipline, so that we say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We get up in the morning and we spend time with the Lord, and our image begins to change so that the world looks at us and says, there's something different about that guy. The world looks at us and says, you know, I want what they've got. A few weeks back, Jeremy had led a man to Christ in Uganda named Musa. And Musa was very unsaved, but very intelligent. He had graduated from the most prestigious universities in Uganda. And Jeremy sat down with him and began to share the gospel with him. And he asked a bunch of questions, and he had all the answers from the worldly religions. And as Jeremy began to witness to him, pretty soon he began to see the light of the gospel. It began to come through the scriptures as he began to see it. And at the end of a few hours, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as Savior. So Jeremy said the next week he was very surprised and very encouraged, but he showed up with his wife, Gloria. And so she came on Sunday morning, and he came on Sunday morning. They came on Sunday night, and she came on Sunday night. And it went on for 2 or 3 weeks. And the last Wednesday night of May, she and he stopped Jeremy as they're going outside the church. And she said this, and I quote, "Pastor, Musa now loves me and is patient and kind with me and rarely ever gets angry with me anymore. He spends time with us, our family. He even reads the Bible to us. I want my husband's God." And she bowed her head and trusted Christ as Savior. You know why? She saw the right image. She saw someone that began to renounce the things of the world, the hidden things of darkness that used to be in his life, that of anger, that of bitterness. And whenever he got mad at her, he had to reveal himself and let her see it. He had tried to scare her into doing what he wanted her to do. And so he used anger as a controlling mechanism to her. And whenever he came to Christ, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart. And he said, okay, I won't do that anymore. And so he goes home and his life began to change. In a 3-week period, he becomes more in the image of Christ. As she says, I've been a Catholic for 25 years, very devout, but no one has ever lived like this. I want that God. You see, tonight, the gospel is hidden because we're not different. We laugh at the same things. We talk about the same things that the world does. Our children in our homes see it. People we work with see it. And the gospel is hidden. We are our schedules, our priorities. But now, folks, let me commend you tonight. It's a Friday night, and you're in the Lord's house, and you've come with your Bible, and you've come to listen to the missionaries, and you've come to be a support and to learn from God's Word, and to walk out of here and say, Lord, I want to be more like you. You've come to church tonight on a Friday night, and there's a million other things in Las Vegas that you could do. None of them more important than what you're doing. But I want you to understand tonight that your priorities are in the right spot on the outside because you're here. But many of Christians, their priorities, they put certain things in different places, and they're not in their right place, and they're not doing the right thing. And so the end result, the gospel gets hidden. I notice in this passage, he says in verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine. Do you understand tonight that God commands the light to shine out of your life and mine? He commands every preacher, let the light shine. to me. He commands me to let the light shine. So as God's child, now listen very carefully. As God's child, I'm commanded to let the light shine. But as a minister of the gospel, oh, wait a minute. You're a minister of the gospel. Let's go back. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, who? The Corinthian people. So therefore, the people of Las Vegas and Liberty Baptist Church, you have this ministry. Now God commands you to be a light. He commands everybody in this room, every missionary, you to be a light. Not just on Saturday morning when you go out and pass out tracts and knock on doors, but for you, whenever you're at night at home in your house, for you to be a light, for you to be real, so that your children and your family want your God. You see, the gospel is hidden because very few children want their parents' gods. Very few children want the mother or the father's God because it's not real. They haven't renounced the hidden things of dishonesty in their hearts. I have a family member that I was with, someone whom I respected a great deal. We went to a gas station and got some gas, and the oil was a little low, and he got the oil can, and it was years ago, so you take the oil can and had a spout on it. How many of you remember the old oil cans? You take a spout and punch it in top of it. How many remember that? Well, we went and got two or three quarts of oil, pushed the spout into it, and poured the oil in the old truck, and boy, got to running good, and went in to pay, and they charged him $2.50 for a quart of oil. And he said, that's not right. So he comes out, and he's all upset, and I hear him throw the oil can in the back of the truck and the funnel. And I said, hey, you forgot this. And so I went and get the funnel, pull it out. He says, no, leave it there. If they're going to charge me that much, I'm going to take their funnel. It stuck in my heart. And I went to church with that person, and I respected that person. But the one little thing, that he did not renounce this certain thing in his heart, you can't do me wrong without me making you pay. You know, that same spirit can be in all of us. It hides the gospel. I'll tell you what hides the gospel. The priority of, I'm going to go play ball. I'm going to put my kids in. And there's nothing in the world wrong with all the activities and things that are going on. And you know, at our church, we built ball fields so that parents can bring their children and put them in the activities of something that's spiritually minded. So I'm for athletics. But you know, whenever we put our kids and we get to go in here, we get to go in there, we're doing this, we're doing that, and getting this lesson, that lesson, and karate lessons, and softball, and baseball, and basketball, and track, and football, and all of a sudden, we don't have much time for sharing the gospel and getting the gospel out. We've got our priorities all wrong. And the light of the gospel begins to dim because the people who are supposed to be in the image of Christ are so busy, they don't take the time to say, I want to get the gospel out. Now, it's wonderful these missionaries have surrendered their hearts, but I want you to understand tonight, every one of you in this room, you're in the ministry too. And you can't leave the light of the gospel to these six missionaries and to the four or five pastors that are in your church. It's not right. The Bible says you're in the ministry. Everybody in this room, you're in the ministry. Or the gospel is hidden. And I want to encourage you tonight to let the light shine. You sang about it. All your children got up here and they sang about the gospel shining and the light shining and being a lighthouse. I want to encourage you tonight. It's your ministry. It's to let the gospel shine through you. We do it, number one, by renouncing the things of this world, by removing the things of our life that remind people of the world, mind our children of the world. We begin to renounce those things and our life begins to clean up. And then we begin to add to our life things that would change us into the image of Christ. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to 1 Peter very quickly. 1 Peter. Notice with me, I'm sorry, 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. verse number 5. And beside this, beside what? This precious salvation we've all received in verse number 3 and 4. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith what? Virtue, a moral excellence, an integrity, knowledge, a study of God's word, temperance, self-control, so that you're like Musa. You no longer yell, no longer angry at your wife. Patience, you handle things and pressures of the world with grace and mercy. And godliness, you have the image of Christ in your life. Brotherly kindness, there's a grace about us that we're kind to other people. We do things for other people without having this great pressure on us. It just comes naturally. How can it be a blessing and help? Oh, those of you who are keeping missionaries, there's a brotherly kindness there. Would you come and stay in our home? You're sharing your home as a brotherly kindness there. Would you eat a meal with us? Would you share a meal here or there? Brotherly kindness and all the things that you did, all these gifts up here are brotherly kindness. You've added things to your life to be a light to the gospel. I guarantee you, you were a light to these missionaries, a great encouragement to these missionaries. I watched them weep. You know what that tells me? Other people have not done that for them in the past. You were a light. You represented Christ to them. There was a kindness about you that they hadn't experienced very often. You see, all of us are supposed to add that to our lives. Now, the word add is the word for a choir director. We're supposed to add a little bit of brotherly kindness. Not so much that we forget about personal discipline and holiness. But you'll notice he says we're to add a little virtue. I wish David would have added some virtue to his life. And when he saw Bathsheba, he turned his head away. A moral excellence. No. Or I wish Samson would have added a little bit of the temperance to his life to say, no, I'm not going down to Timnath. No, I'm not going there. You see, Christians are to add these things to their life so that the light begins to shine as we begin to become more and more in the image of Christ. That's the reason why you come to church. You begin to add a little something. If you just came to church and added one thing that the preacher said and you added that to your life, and the next time you came to church, you added something else, or you took away something that was not supposed to be there. Can you imagine what kind of Christian you'd be in a month or in 6 months or in a year? No wonder Musa's wife said, I want his God, because in 3 weeks he looked at everything and said, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to add this. I'm going to add that. I'm going to add devotions. I'm going to read the Bible to my family. I'm going to get rid of anger over here. And he was different. And the light shined. But I also noticed, not only is the gospel hidden if we don't renounce the things of this world, and if we don't realize that we're to be in the image of Christ, but if we haven't reached out with the light of the gospel to the world. You know, I noticed he said in verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what he said? I've put the light of the gospel in your heart. Everybody in this room, that's the reason you're a minister of the gospel. That's the reason everywhere you go, you're to be to share the gospel with people. And so if we don't realize and say, you know, I'm not going to really knock myself out to share the gospel. The gospel's going to be hidden to people. It'll be hidden if we don't surrender our hearts. Now tonight, let me just encourage you to do this. If you're here tonight, Brother Chris Reed, I believe it was a fireman.
Is Brother Reed here tonight? Is he in this room? I don't think he is. Good.
There was some point in his life, as he's coming to church and sitting where you are, where he began to say, Lord, I'll surrender my heart to do what you want me to do. And that's the same thing everybody in this room needs to do yourself. Now, he surrendered and said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And he's a fireman. He's got a great job. He's making a nice salary. He's taking care of his family. He's got a job that fulfills him because he's helping people. But it's not the light of the gospel. It's not the greatest job in all the world. To share with people that Jesus loves them. Do you understand if you fix an elbow or you fix a knee or you save a life from a fire, you didn't save them from hell. Oh yes, you made a difference. Yes, you encouraged people. But we have the ministry of making an eternal difference. And so you and I have to be willing to share the gospel with the lost. But it starts with a surrender. It starts with an open palm. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I will do what you want me to do. How many of you has the Holy Spirit ever touched your heart to witness to somebody at work or to share the gospel with a neighbor and you struggled to do so? Would you raise your hand? Just be honest. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. That surrender. That's the surrender all of us must have. So when the Holy Spirit touches our heart, we're willing to go anywhere He wants. I grew up on a ranch or farm in Oklahoma. In the summer times, I'd go up there and spend all summer and ride horses. And I had a horse and a registered quarter horse, and I was too small to put the saddle on her. So I'd get my BB gun, and I had my shorts on and no shirt, and I was going to go bird hunting, and I'd get on her and I'd ride her around and lead her with the halt, with the bridle and the reins, and touch on the side of her neck, and she'd go left to right. But you know, I couldn't shoot my gun if I'm holding the bridle. And so I decided to try to train my horse where I could do something different. I read a book about the Indians, and did you know the Indians, you shoot a bow and arrow off the horse's back and kill buffalo. You know how they did that? Well, they would train the horse that when they pushed in the right knee, they'd go to the right. When they pushed in the left knee, they'd go to the left. And so they trained the horse by touch to obey. I said, that's pretty cool. I'm going to try that with Mitzi. That was her name. And so I got on her and I laid the reins on her neck and I pushed on the right and she just did nothing. So I'd take the reins and pull them to the right and then touch her at the same time. And over a period of time, she got to where she yielded to my will. And so I could ride my horse with my BB gun. I was about 10 years old. And I'd ride my horse. You don't get legs like that without riding a horse. And so I'd ride my horse and push that right knee. And boy, she'd go to the right and I'd get up close to the bird on the fence. Bang, and I'd get one. And so the birds were terrified when I had my horse and my BB gun and I was riding around. And I learned that if I could train my horse to go by the touch, that I could ride all over that 120 acres and never use the reins. And then it dawned on me. That's what God wants Dave Pittman to do. By the touch. I do anything that He wants. By the way, that's what He wants you to do. By the touch of the Holy Spirit, you're willing to do anything that He wants you to do. Are you there tonight by the touch of His Spirit? You're willing to pull out a track and witness. By the touch of His Spirit, today I went shopping. Didn't like it, but I did. Because I'm married. And your assistant pastor, Brother Matt, suggested the place to go. I'm getting over my bitterness now. But we went down to this mall, seemed like hours away. We got down there,
And it was hot. Now, I want you to listen. I made a promise to the Lord years ago that I would only wear shirts with a pocket, so I could always carry tracks. Today, it was 149 degrees where that mall was. And I took off my shirt. And I thought about it. And I said, you know, you can't put tracks in your pocket. You bend them all up. So I took off my shirt and went shopping. And I bought three or four things. And I walked out of there and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I took off my shirt to be comfortable. And there may have been somebody there that needed the gospel. And I didn't give it to them. I ask the Lord to forgive me today. That's got nothing to do with you. I just want you to understand that preachers, we do things to not let the light shine like we ought. Now, I don't know if your pastor, he probably wears, whatever kind of shirt. But for me, Dave Pittman, I wanted the Lord to know I want to be a representative of the gospel everywhere I go. So all my shirts, unless I'm riding my lawnmower on my property, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to wear a shirt with a pocket in it. And I'm going to try to have tracks in it. Because everybody that you meet that has two eyes and a nose is going to heaven or to hell. And so I'm a minister of the gospel. And I messed up today. I feel bad about it. It's not my wife's fault. It's not anybody's fault in this room. But I took my shirt off. And I bought four things. And I have four tracks still in my pocket. And I prepared this message. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I didn't do what I'm preaching. I'm sorry. You know what? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I have the treasure in earthen vessel. And I want the light to shine in my heart. And I can't witness to everybody that my wife buys something from. I can't do it. I remember one time we were on a missions trip in Abaco Island in the Bahamas, and we were at the straw market, and I heard this something going on at one end of the straw market. I couldn't figure out what it was, and I tried to look around, and boy, there was the people kind of rushing to this one spot, and I looked over, and my wife, to my horror, was right in the middle of it all, and I couldn't figure out what she was doing. And so, you know, when you go to these in Mexico or different places, you bargain with people. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what they mean? If it's a dollar, you say, how about 50 cents or whatever. Well, they were saying a dollar, and she would say, how about a dollar and a quarter? So she had the whole place over there. They were coming to get her money. And I had to pull her out of there. What are you doing, honey? So I wouldn't have enough tracks for that place if I went there. I couldn't witness to them all. But you know why I got this message in my heart, that years ago I began to realize that people got saved because there's a man in our church that's saved because somebody gave him a track. And you know, we get so busy that we leave the tracks in the track rack. It's a way to let the light shine. We get so busy, we leave out the time that we could go out for visitation. We get so busy, we don't see the souls of men. And the gospel is hidden because we're the light. I'm reminded. We go on missions trips at our church because I want our men and our women to understand their light. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, they go on a missions trip. They'll see somebody that comes up in a dugout canoe and realize that person needs the gospel. There's nobody here to tell them. We took a trip to the Amazon River. 15 doctors and nurses and paramedics. We went down to Manaus. It's right on the banks of the Amazon. And the city was so glad to have us that they gave us the public school that was out that week. They said, you can have it. And so word got out that Americans were there and they were treating people for free. And we set up a pharmacy and boy, people came and we made, had a little church across, right across from the public school. They let us use that and we could preach the gospel right there. So I'd take some of the men and the pastors and we'd go up there and we'd preach the gospel. And once they heard the gospel, we'd give them a coupon. They'd go across the street and they'd give it to the doctor that was there, and he was triaging people. He was finding what their illnesses were, taking their picture so we could give it to the missionary when we left. And so as he's going through, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor pulls up his picture, looks at him and says, okay, I see that you have neck pain and this and this, whatever it is. Yeah, well, take these pills. And so we're in Brazil. They speak Portuguese and we don't. So we went to the missionary and said, tell us how to write down, take one pill three times a day for a week. And so we took the little piece of plastic and wrote it down on it and put the purple pills in there or the green pills in there and gave it to them. And so they were coming through, and as they were coming through, the first day and the second day, we treated probably 500, 600 people, and we were having people saved. And I looked at one of the doctors, and I don't really know why, but I looked at one of the docs, and I said, hey, would you speak tomorrow night? Me? Yeah, would you speak? Would you preach in the church? Okay. You think I can do it? I know you can do it. Okay. He went across the street. And of course, I was excited to hear what he said. And I slipped into the back. And he preached the gospel. And there, the people don't come forward to trust Christ. There, the people get up and go to the back. Well, I didn't know that, nor did he know that. So he's preaching the gospel. And he finishes and gives the invitation, and guy got up and walked out. Another guy over here got up and walked out. Another guy got up and four guys got up and walked out. And so when they got to the back, I realized what was happening. They were coming to get saved. They needed help. And so we began to witness to them and share the gospel. And the workers began. And so all four of them trusted Christ as Savior. And I walked down to the front and people were talking to him. Temple, you did a good job. And he came down to the front and I said, man, you did a good job, Alan. Man, I'm proud of you. He said, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. I mean, the gospel was clear and it spoke to my heart. And I want you to know, I'm thankful you preached for us tonight. He said, but Pastor, nobody got saved. I said, yes, they did. There's four of them went to the back and got saved. They go to the back in Brazil, not to the front. He said, oh. You know what he did when he got home? He came up to me a little while later. Now, this is a guy who replaced his elbows and knees. His wife is a prenatal nurse. Probably make $250,000, $300,000 a year. He came up to me and he says, you know, Pastor, I'm done replacing elbows and knees. I want to replace hearts. I said, what are you saying, Alan? He says, I want to go someplace where people need the gospel. I said, so you're saying you're gonna stop what you're doing? He said, yes, sir. I'm going to sell my house. I'm going wherever the Lord calls me. I said, Alan, that's wonderful. A few months later, he called my wife over to his house. And he said, Pastor, I want to tell you, my wife is from the Philippines and it's a needy place. God hadn't called us there. And this place and that place, and he was very dramatic and he's a nut anyway. And he said, you know where God has called me? I said, where is that? He said, to Uganda, Middle East Africa, to set up a clinic with Jeremy. I said, boy, my wife and I began to rejoice. And he's there today preaching the gospel. Now, you're talking about knocking on doors? He don't have to knock on doors. He just opened up his door and says, free health care. And people flock to him. And so he opens up the clinic, couple times a week so that he can witness to people and tell them about Christ. But he's got a church that he's planting. And he's preaching the gospel. He uses medical technology and help to build the church. You know why? Because the gospel was hidden in his eyes in Brazil. And he saw, he had all this medical training. But he realized that there was something greater. And the eyes of people of this world were hidden from the gospel. He said, I want to go and tell them. And I walked through his beautiful clinic back at Christmas time a year ago. I said, Alan, I have no words to tell you how proud I am of you. Gave up his job. His wife gave up her job. And he sold his house and went to the bush of Africa. That's happened 8 times in our church. Because people went on a missions trip and their eye affected their heart. Now, you got a chance to go to the mission field tonight, briefly. Are you willing to? I mean, when I saw Thailand, all the lost people, I need to pray for Thailand. I wish I could go there. I wish I could help Brother Reed plant a church there. There was a point in time when Brother Reed, as a fireman, had the exact same surrender that Alan did. I can save people from a fire, but I could save them from an eternal fire. And he surrendered. Tonight, the gospel is hidden from the eyes of the world. And God is looking for people to realize you're a minister of the gospel. You have a ministry. Every lady, every man in this room, you have a ministry to share the gospel by tract, by mouth, by your footsteps. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to surrender your heart? Now you may say, well, Pastor, if I surrender, he may call me to the bush of Africa. He might, but probably he's going to call you to take your faith promise and say, Lord, what could I do more in faith promise to send more missionaries out? What could I do in prayer? Lord, how much more time could I spend in prayer? How many more tracts could I send out? He's probably going to let you stay right here and ask you to do more to get the gospel out. Are you willing to surrender? It's not just Pastor Tice's job. You're all involved in a ministry. It's your job. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, it's a direct command for all of us in this room to get involved in ministry. Will you consider that tonight? Ask the Holy Spirit, what could I do more? What could I change to let the light shine out of my life? What can I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. The question is, will you go the direction he wants, willingly and quickly, with a sweet spirit? God's looking for soldiers. Will you be a minister of Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. The gospel is hidden. I'm going to ask the pianist to come tonight. Could I just tell you tonight that the gospel is hidden? And folks, tonight we have it in earthen vessels. Could I encourage you to come to this altar and say, Lord, I yield. I give you my heart. Lord, I yield. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm willing. Lord Jesus, tonight, I plead with you to allow your Holy Spirit free reign in this service to go up and down every aisle and every seat, Lord, and that you touch older women, older men,
younger men, younger women, Lord, teenagers, that you would touch their hearts and they would yield to your touch. And dear Holy Spirit, that they would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And whatever you lay on their heart, they promise you they'll do. Lord, give them the courage to yield tonight, that the light of the gospel might go forth in brilliance. Maybe it's their image that needs to change more into your image. Lord, whatever it is, would you touch their hearts tonight? In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.